Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Caffeine for the Soul. And today I'm going to be talking about commitment. But I'm going to be talking about commitment in a different way than you've probably thought about it before, certainly in a different way than I've thought about it for much of my life. So commitment, those of you who've been around my work for a while know that I've gone through a lot of angst around commitment. Ironically, not so much in my life. I've been with, you know, one woman for 30 years. I actually seem to find it quite easy in practice. But in theory, it drives me nuts. I get very up in my head about doing it right, about being committed enough. And what I realized first was that kind of made it easier for me was that I had an idea in my head about commitment that I was trying to live up to that had nothing to do with whether or not I showed up when I said I was going to show up, that had nothing to do with whether or not I stuck with something until it was accomplished. It was a personal growth project. It was an act of will. Commitment was a statement about me, not about what it is that I was up to. And that's the first thing that I saw that made understanding commitment and working with commitment a much easier thing, is that commitment is not something you have to do. It's not about you. Commitment is just a way of talking about what are you really up to? What are you actually doing with your time, with your life? And there's a quote that in my very first course that I ever taught, the very first thing that we did was, it was called The Key to Power, and we had people memorize a quote from W.H. Murray, who was a Scottish Himalayan explorer. And the quote, a lot of people think it's a Goethe quote, but it's, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamt would have come his way. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds really cool. Like I want that. And so for me, the way that I tried to go about that, because of what I thought commitment was by becoming a more committed person so that I could take advantage of the universe. And the problem with it is that true commitment is uncovered, not created. It's the result of a mining operation, not a manufacturing operation. In other words, what it is that you really are up to, it's already in you. It's not something you have to choose. It's not something you have to make up. It's not something you have to do. You simply have a level of buy-in to commitment, a buy-in to something, a buy-in to the work that you do, a buy-in to the relationship that you're in, a buy-in to what you are doing in the moment. And buy-in is one part of what I've come to see more recently is kind of at the heart of commitment. In other words, if I'm clean, clear, and bought in, that's what commitment means. It means, A, I'm clear. I know what it is that I'm up to, or at least the direction it is that I'm heading. It's clean. I don't have a lot on it. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, if I don't make it, I'm going to die. Or if I do make it, all my problems will be solved. It's just what I'm up to. And I'm really up to it. I'm bought into the idea. I'm in, you know, yeah, let's do that. Right? It is genuinely what I'm up to, not what I think I should be up to, not what I'm trying to make myself be up to. And when we're committed, when we are clean and clear and bought in, there's an inevitability to what we do until one is committed. In other words, until we're clean and clear and bought in, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. So we approach things without commitment, without that clarity of what we're up to, without a cleanness around it without really being bought into it. Okay, yeah, I guess I'll do this. And we're hesitant. We kind of pull back at the first sign of trouble. You know, we trip over the first obstacle, always ineffectiveness. And we don't see that the reason that it seems like such a struggle isn't to do with the thing itself. It's that we're doing it without the clarity. We're doing it without the cleanliness. We're doing it without the buy-in. Now, when you discover, oh, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, cool. I want to do this. It's no bigger a deal than that. Well, then, the moment you see that, the moment you get really clean and clear and bought in, then providence moves too, and all sorts of things occur to help you that would never otherwise have occurred. And so it's this really curious thing that we think what determines the level of difficulty is in the task or project itself. But what actually winds up determining the level of difficulty is your level of clarity, your level of cleanliness about what you're up to, about just, yeah, not having too much on it, your level of buy-in. And so recently, what I've come to see that's been very helpful to me is I know that when I am clear and clean and bought in, there's an inevitability to something happening. So if things aren't happening, I've learned to look to see, do I really know what I'm up to? Am I really up to it? In other words, am I all in, or am I still going to go, I don't know, it might be a good idea, but maybe I better hedge my bets. Do I have a bunch of stuff on it? Is it too meaningful to me? Does it matter too much to me? And what I find consistently is if I can find that clarity, that cleanliness, that buy-in, it's a done deal. And if I can't, there's no point in even beginning. Have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak with you soon.